Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast that's underrated. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who is overrated.
Speak for yourself, Michael. That would be Michael Newman. Thank you.
Okay. Well, who are you?
I'm Ryan Newman.
And I'm joined by the other brother who is impossible to underrate. I'm going to save you some time. It's an insult.
I had to kind of think about that, but I'm still just going to answer Trey Newman.
All right. So the three of us have each come up with four over-unders for the 2021 season. We're going to present them to each other, and you got to make your pick. So let's get right into it. Trey, what's up?
All right. We are looking at the Big 12 and in terms of the New Year's Six. So I'm setting an over-under on 1.5 Big 12 teams that make it to the New Year's Six.
Yeah, that's definitely the right line. When talking about New Year's Six, not too many folks can make that. But you have two teams for the Big 12 that will be, you know, top 10 preseason teams, OU and Iowa State. And just because of that, I'm going to take the over. I know it's not just those two teams. They obviously have great chances. They're both well capable, but you could toss in a surprise team here and there that could make it. I think like a Texas could end up having a good year. TCU, Trace could see them. He just loves his TCU. But even like Okie State. So there's teams out there that outside of that top two that could make a run. So if one of the top two does falter, there might be another team to pick up the slack. So I'm going over on that one.
I am also going over. I pointed at the exact five teams you just did there. They all have a shot, obviously, the led by OU and Iowa State. But I looked back at in the playoff era, we've had seven seasons, and the Big 12 has had two teams in five of them. So even just looking at recent history, I think over's a good bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the reason I kind of went with that is because you've got Oklahoma and Iowa State at the top, and then there is, at least in the preseason, there's a bit of a gap until get to the 3-5. But like you said, 3-5 or whatever could jump up. But, you know, if Iowa State just fell on their face, then you need one of those others to jump up. But totally fair.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to my first one here. I got over or under 2.5 QBs to pass for at least 40 touchdowns this year.
Okay, so I am going to go over. Starting in 2014, here's the number of players to do it every year. So it's been 3-3-6, 2-3-3-2. And last year was a shortened season, so I kind of throw that one out. So it usually goes over, and I don't see, you know, passing trends going down anytime soon. But I found some trivia here. So in the CFP era, only two players have passed for 40 touchdowns in consecutive seasons. I mean, you could throw out a guess if you guys want, or I can give you hints, but
CFP era, consecutive seasons throwing 40.
What about Justin Fields?
Baker?
Baker Mayfield is correct.
Oh, I was thinking about Baker.
Fields didn't do it last year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's right. There's the shortened.
Fields did it once.
So the other one...
The other one is very difficult, so I'm going to have to give you a hint on it.
Any previous... is it a G5 quarterback?
Yes,
Brady
it is.
Brady White?
No. That's not Shane a bad Bechel? Guess, but no. No.
Ah.
I don't think either of
the right conference?
Those guys... You're not in the right conference, no. Oh. All right, I'm going to tell you the team. I'm going to tell you the team because we could be here forever. So the team is Western Kentucky.
Oh.
So even then, it's not a gimme.
Yeah. I know. I'm just thinking of Pegram in the recent history, but that's not it, obviously.
No, it was 2014 and 2015.
Is that when they had... No, that was way back. Oh, man. God, I'm blanking on his name right
that's
now.
That's fine. I'm just going to tell you. Brandon Doughty.
Oh, not,
wouldn't have got
really
it.
Really blanking on it.
Wouldn't have got it.
That's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Damn.
That was before we were college football podcasters.
Yeah, true.
Now we know everything that's happened in the last 3 years.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Trey still got to answer. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did mention that I'm actually going to go under, and I know the recent history and whatnot has kind of pointed otherwise, but last year, I know it was the COVID shortened year, so it's a little skewed, but there was two guys that did go over 40, but then third place was Zach Wilson, and he was way down there at 33, so he still had a little bit of a ways to go. And I initially thought, I'm going to go over, but when you look at those top two guys from last year, Alabama and Florida quarterbacks, Trask and Jones, those are two guys that are going to be replaced. And when you look at Florida's case, they're going to go to maybe a little bit more of a mobile quarterback. So Emory Jones might not just jump right in and throw for 40. Yep. And then Alabama, there's still some questions on, like, Bryce Jones will be fine. I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but maybe they'll run the rock. What did I say? Bryce Jones.
You mixed Bryce Young and Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones. Yeah. But I mean, maybe they'll run the ball of Skosh Moore, new offensive coordinator. So that's kind of why I went under. It's just not going to be, there's not an incumbent coming in.
Yeah. And one, I was taking a look at last year's list too. I don't know if you didn't just mention Dylan Gabriel, did you?
No, I just said Zach Wilson was 33 or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. Well, Gabriel is one of those guys that you think has a chance this upcoming year too. But then I'm just wondering, like, how much is Gus Malzahn's offense? You know, if he was in Josh Heupel's offense, I think I'd be more confident he's going to explode. But that gave me some cause for pause. So, okay.
Yeah.
Our next over-under is over-under one coaching change in the Big 12 before the 2022 season. So it could be someone getting fired, someone retiring,
right,
getting promoted somewhere. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the list of Big 12 coaches, it seems unlikely that a coach would be fired because of how early most of them are in their tenures. And then the coaches that are longer in their tenures, they're pretty much untouchable now for the most part. Like, you got those Patterson, Campbell, and Lincoln Riley. But something could happen. And Gundy, yeah. Something could happen. I'm going to go over. Two definitely would be tough, but I think it's two is more likely than zero in this case. I could see maybe, I've mentioned it before, maybe Patterson retires if they have an average year. Matt Campbell or Lincoln Riley have flirted with the NFL, or in Campbell's cases, other jobs. There's just always surprises in the coaching world, so I'm going to bank on at least one, maybe two.
All right, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that it goes under here. All these guys, it's obviously so hard to forecast, but the guys that I think that could potentially maybe get fired, the list is very short, like you kind of mentioned. Maybe Matt Wells from Texas Tech. I could see him getting let go if they just kind of fall out, which, you know, obviously could happen. But other than that, who could get fired?
Scandal aside.
Anybody really could. You know, so that's going to be a challenge for the firing, right? So, and I don't think Wells will get fired. I think he'd probably be able to get one more year. So, the question is, does people leave? And I don't know. I don't think Lincoln Riley's going to go. I think he'll just stay at
Lincoln Riley.
Continue to nominate. What?
It sounded like he said Lincoln Riley. Over.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley. So I'm going to go under. I don't think it's likely to get two. So I could see. You know, Kansas got a new coach, West Virginia, Neil Brown's doing great. New coach, Texas, Baylor 1 year. So it's just, I'm going under.
Yeah. Whoever is fired or moves on, it will be a surprise, but
yeah,
there's just 10 opportunities there for a surprise. So it's a tough one.
Yep. All right. Moving on. We're going to go out west. There's a lot of hope going into this year with the Pac-12, since they return a lot of production. So over under three Pac-12 teams to finish in the top 25.
So this is a tough one. In the playoff era, the Pac-12 has averaged 3.14 teams ranked in the final AP poll. But most of those came in 2014 through 2017. The last few years have been pretty slim. But I think you set the right number. I think three is the right number. The Pac-12 as a conference has, I think, the most returning production of any Power 5 conference, so I think they'll be better, improve on the one from last year. It was only USC that finished ranked last year.
And they probably didn't even deserve it.
Yeah, borderline for sure. But I think in the preseason this upcoming year, four, maybe five Pac-12 teams will be ranked. I think definitely Oregon, USC, and Washington. Again, this is in the preseason. And then maybe ASU and or Utah. So there's plenty of opportunities there. UCLA should be better. So I'm kind of making the case for why it will go over, but I'm going the other way. I'm going under. I was just making the case for why it'll be more than one or two like it's been the past few years. But I just think that there's a lot of kind of parity after, I guess, Oregon. You know, I feel like these teams, there's not a ton separating them. So I could see a lot finishing in that 26 to 40-ish type range, but maybe they'll kind of beat each other up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over here. I really do think the returning of production is going to play a big factor here. Last year, they were kind of down, but this year, they're going to be up. There's a lot of good teams. I like UW coming into this year. I think they're going to have really good defense. Oregon, of course, is going to have a lot of talent. But those two teams I listed, they have huge early tests against Big Ten schools. So, you know, obviously out of the gate here is a major factor with, you know, Washington going to Ann Arbor and then Oregon going to Columbus, Ohio. So those are two huge early tests for the Pac-12. And they need that if they're going to get over. They need to at least win. Washington at least needs to win. Again, it'll be a tough one at Ohio State, but Washington needs to hopefully pick off Michigan. But, you know, USC's got a lot coming back. I know their defense won't be all that great, but I like them to do enough. And I think there's some surprise teams that could come up, too. I mean, yes, ASU is there, Utah, of course, but UCLA could surprise. They got a lot of people coming back. It could be Chip Kelly's year there. You know, Cal could put together a good year. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be too shocking. And then I'm going to throw out Wazoo, man. They have a ton of returning production. They had a really hard first year last year. For Rolovich, that's first year. That was a tough gig with some injuries and then, of course, the COVID year. So they could make a leap. So I'm going over. And it's my turn to say the next thing, aren't I?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. So over or under 1.5 ACC teams that will stay within 10 points of Clemson.
I like this. I am going to go under. So, you know, assuming they're healthy, Clemson is going to be massive favorites in their ACC games. We've mentioned it before. They got a favorable draw, even by ACC standards for this year. Looking at SP Plus, the closest spreads that I'm seeing are at NC State, at Pitt, and at Louisville. But all of those would have Clemson over a 2-touchdown favorite. I do think one game will happen where it's under 10 and be close and maybe even get upset or whatever, but I don't know about two now. So it could potentially come down to the ACC title if you're including that in, where you'd maybe draw Miami or North Carolina.
I guess I did say ACC team. So
for me, that would be the second one if it were to happen, but I'm gonna go under.
Yeah, I wasn't including the ACC title when I was thinking about this one. That would make it tougher, but yeah, as it is, I gotta go under. Just because, like you said, the ACC, of course, outside of Clemson, isn't very good. And the second and third best teams, North Carolina and Miami, are not on Clemson's schedule. So it's just a crazy draw. And arguably the fourth best team, there's a lot of teams that could argue for that, but Virginia Tech, also not on Clemson's schedule. So, and I just, I see Clemson being, they might be like my number one team headed into next year. There's obviously a few teams in competition there, but Uyunglele, I'm sure, is going to be great. We saw a little bit of him last year. They get Justin Ross back on offense. Everyone's back on defense for the most part. So I think one's the most likely number here, but zero is in play. They could win every game.
So if I set it at one, would you guys have?
I would still go under. Without the ACC title, I think zero is more likely than two.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you look back like.
So if I said it at half.
Because we saw.
Then I would go over.
Well, okay. a half's close. But we've seen like a couple years ago, Alabama beat every team in the SEC by double digits. And they might have done that twice. I don't know. So it's, and they had a tougher schedule than Clemson does. So.
Well, yeah. And Clemson, so let's just go back. This past year, it was one. Boston College stayed within 10 points. Well, I'm not counting Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah,
I don't count that. I mean, because they're not, you know, they don't have Notre Dame on the schedule.
Fake year.
2019, it was one, just North Carolina. And no one was even close. No one else was even close to 10 points. 2018, it was only Syracuse, who they lost to, but no one else was even close. Or maybe they won in 2018 against Syracuse. Maybe it was the year before they lost. I don't remember. But anyway.
All right.
That's why I'm going under.
It's tough.
Okay. Next question, over under 0.5 upsets in the following three week one games. So will the favorite get upset in any of these games? Notre Dame at Florida State, Alabama against Miami, and Louisiana at Texas.
All right. So Notre Dame, Florida State, it's a 7-point spread. So Notre Dame's, well, at least according to the early lines here. So 7 points, Notre Dame's favored.
I saw Texas 9.5, but whatever. Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. It's funny how they vary because I saw 9.5 in Notre Dame, but okay. Still.
So 7.
There's probably one out there that's 7. Yeah.
Texas is about 9-ish over Louisiana. And then Alabama, I see them 17 or so over Miami. So I'm going to say over. I'm going to say one of the smaller spreads happens. Florida State, I could definitely see happening. Notre Dame obviously loses a bunch. Florida State could, you know, be ready to go for that one. Big game. They could be pumped up. And I could see Louisiana, of course. They're an experienced team going up against a team that's not going to be experienced, at least in their system, in Texas. So their first game is a tough one for Sark in the first game. So I think one of those two will happen. I'm not going to say which one. I don't want to upset any fan bases here, but I could see one definitely happening. I think they will. It's not going to be Miami though. Sorry, Miami.
Yeah, you never know. But I think but when you combine these three, I think the math kind of works because if you look at those point spreads of say it's split the difference between Ryan and I at 8 points and then 9 and then 17, but those 8 to 9 point underdogs or 8 to 10, that's about a 20-30% chance to win outright. So you kind of add those two, then plus whatever the little bit of percentage is for Miami, you're at like kind of flipping a coin. And you know, we saw the Noles last year. They upset North Carolina in Tallahassee, so they're capable. Mm-hmm. Maybe McKenzie Milton goes off, and like you said, Ryan, with the new system with Sark, it wouldn't shock me. Like, I think if it was year two in these systems or Notre Dame had people coming back, I'd go under, but I'm also going to go over because of that.
All right.
All right. What's next?
Back to you. Do you try?
Yes, it is back to me. So we are going to go with, you know, the past few years, it seems like the top teams are just totally separating themselves from the field. So over under 1.5 unbeaten teams going into the bowl games.
Okay. Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a tough line.
Good question. Yeah.
Yeah. I am going to go under. So I'm going to say one team does it. I'm not going to say who, but between Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, they all have new quarterbacks.
Oklahoma.
I mean, obviously, we've seen them.
Go on.
They all have new quarterbacks. So we've seen them thrive with new quarterbacks, but there's a chance they could slip. OU hasn't done that since 04. I don't see OU doing that. Pac-12, just way too balanced. So Cincy could do it, and a G5 team. But they have some tough games. They go to Notre Dame and Indiana. Then, of course, the AAC is tough. They got some tough squads there. So I'm just going to say only one does it. I'm not confident that there'll be more than that.
Yeah, so in the CFP era, I feel like I've been saying that a lot this episode, but this has gone over 3 times and under 3 times. So I think you said a good line. I'm not counting last year.
Yeah, last year there was shortened schedules.
Yeah, shortened schedules. That's why I'm only counting those 6. But it's gone under. It's never been 0. It's always been at least 1. And when it goes over, sometimes it's gone kind of well over. So my initial inclination was maybe I should just not look more into this and just go over, but I did overthink it. So I am also going under.
Because this surprises me.
I know. Maybe this would be better off. Like I said, I'm just overthinking it, but my thinking. So one big reason is that Georgia and Clemson play each other. So there's two teams that would have had a chance to go undefeated that, boom, one of them's already getting a loss week one. Oregon and Ohio State, 2 teams that have a chance. I mean, Oregon to a lesser extent, but still, that's going to give one of them a loss. And then the G5 teams that have the best chance to go undefeated have tough schedules. Cincinnati has Notre Dame and Indiana. Louisiana has to go at Texas. Even Boise State has a really tough non-conference. So I just think those kind of factors there make one likely, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, the funny thing about this is if I knew the result of Clemson, Georgia, that would absolutely change my answer. If Clemson wins, there's such a high probability of them going undefeated that I'm going over. I'm just, you know, I just need one more team. If Clemson loses, then I still probably think Georgia at one point will lose. Maybe they'll lose to Bama in the SEC title or Florida, whoever. So then I would feel better about an under.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's pretty amazing, though, looking back, because forgetting last year because it was so short, but 2019 and 18, there was 3 and 4 respectively, because I think you had, like, you know, UCF had a couple in there that were unbeaten. But it's amazing that even these top teams, Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson, were still going unbeaten. But over the long run, it has been under the 1.5. So, yeah, it was interesting to hear you guys thinking.
It's tough to go undefeated.
Yeah.
All right. My next one here. Over or under 1.5 Big 12 quarterback and running back duos with more combined touchdowns than Brock Purdy and Breece Hall, the QB running back duo for Iowa State.
Another tough question. So Breece Hall had 23 total touchdowns last year. Not too many guys get more than that in a given season, so I'll just pencil him in for about the same this upcoming year. Brock Purdy had 24 total touchdowns, but he had 35 the year before, so I'm going to go somewhere in between there, somewhere maybe on the higher end. I'll say 32. So I'm at 55, give or take, combined. Now, I can kind of eliminate like 7 of the 10 Big 12 teams right away. So Baylor, West Virginia, Texas Tech, K-State, and Kansas, I just can't see them having good enough offenses. It would take an injury to one of the two guys we're talking about for them to beat them. TCU, I doubt it with Max Duggan and Zach Evans. I mean, it's not impossible, but I'm not sure if Duggan will
get unlikely
enough passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma State, I don't totally trust Spencer Sanders. And there doesn't seem to be one kind of feature back that's going to get all the carries. So that leaves me with Oklahoma and Texas. And OU, I would bet on them to beat out Iowa State's pair, because Rattler himself, if he stays healthy, I think he could threaten 50. And I would definitely bet on him to get into the 40s. And you combine that with Kennedy Brooks, and I think that might get them beat. Now, Eric Gray, the backup running back, could throw a wrench in that. But anyway, I like OU to be more than Iowa State's pair. Texas is very tough. I mean, Bijan Robinson could blow up and have an amazing year. But we're still not sure who the quarterback will be, and if there's maybe a controversy there, if they have to go back and forth, then that does it for Iowa State. So I'll go under. But the biggest threats outside of OU are injuries. Two, of course, Hall or Purdy, and then the Texas duo.
That's a major factor.
We had like the exact 100% same logic. So I have to go under, because even if I looked at it too, where even if their production regresses a little bit, it's still going to be difficult for two teams or, you know, duos to overcome them. I'm not saying it's possible, because I do think Texas and Oklahoma are worthy threats. And, you know, if there's going to be some surprise, like Zach Evans could blow up, and Duggan could have a lot of running and passing touchdowns. But I had to lean under. I think one, if the line was one, that would have been more difficult.
One, I would have to go. I would have to go over.
I think I would go over. It was kind of one of those lines. W. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a fair line.
Yeah, I think it was a good line. Next question, over under. Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to save this one for YouTube. So later this week, we'll release that. So go to our YouTube, just search College Football Bros, subscribe. We're up over like 900 subscribers now in our quest for 1,000. So we'd appreciate your subscription, and turn on notifications so you always get notified when we post a new video. But the question is going to be over under 5.5. For Clemson quarterback DJ Uiagalelei's finish in Heisman voting. So will he finish 5th or better, or 6th or worse? So yeah, we'll save that for YouTube.
All right.
So one of the storylines going into this year will be, what can Bryce Young do as an encore to Tua and Mac Jones in the prior years? So when looking at Alabama's pass offense in terms of yards per game, over under the 6th ranked pass offense at yards per game.
Yeah, that's tough. Of course, with the previous two quarterbacks you mentioned, they went, I'll say under, I guess, because they're going a smaller number here, meaning they did do it. So, but I'm going to go over. I think 6 is kind of the right line here. But there's significant changes going on their offense. Of course, you know, y'all got a new quarterback. You know, they got a new offensive coordinator. They're going to have some good receivers, of course. John Metchie is going to be really, really good. But they lose a Heisman Trophy winner. That's, you know, you're gonna feel that from wide receiver and Devonta Smith. So I'm outside of Metchie and Jahlil Billingsley is a good tight end, but outside of them, it's a little concerning. They don't have some, you know, there's not like that four first rounders or four great NFL receivers like they had a couple years ago, and then this year still have some good talent. So I think it's going to drop a little bit. They're still going to be really good, no doubt about it. It's going to be amazing, but I will say it's a little drop, and they'll finish maybe in the top 10, but below six.
That's fair. Yeah, there's obviously, we all know, tons of talent there. They've been recruiting super well at wide receiver, but yeah, we don't know if it's unlikely. Let's just say to be as good as last year and the year before. That seems very unlikely. It doesn't need to be that good, but still.
Yeah.
That's made this tough for me because you've mentioned all the turnover, but I'm gonna go under. I guess I don't know. I don't want to bet against Alabama's offense. They just seem to reload every year. And you're going to be in high-scoring games against teams like Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida, Mississippi State. Just the SEC more and more is, you know, there's a lot of pass-happy offenses. So I could see some shootouts. Well, still blowouts in Alabama's favor, but shootouts. Yeah. So,
60-30.
I'm betting on Bryce Young. I feel like Bryce Young is... I mean, maybe it'll be kind of like a Spencer Rattler type year, in which case, Ryan, you would probably end up being right, where he's still very good, but he's not yet at the Mac Jones Tua level.
That's just kind of one of the reasons what I'm hoping. Hoping.
Okay, but I'm going under, so we got one over, one under.
There you go. All right, my last one here. Over or under, 0.5 Service Academy teams with at least 9 wins. Michael, what do you think on that one?
So are we including bowl games?
No.
Okay, then that makes me feel confident. If it was, I was agonizing.
Okay, then include bowl games.
No. I mean, you could still go either way.
Yeah.
So let's start with Navy. I would be shocked. Their over under is 3.5. So
yeah.
They did do that like a few years ago. I feel like they had a really bad year and then suddenly won 9 or 10 games. But I would be shocked. Army. Their over-under is 8. The under is favored, so it's kind of more like a 7.8 over-under. So it's possible, but they'd have to...
Right, drop it to 8.5. Then that sounds like that's a good line for you.
Well, no, you can't. You said it at 9, right? You said it where you said it. And then Air Force, their over-under 6.5. They had a ton of guys redshirt last year, and their schedule is manageable. So they have a shot at 9. Like, that's... I definitely wouldn't write them off, but... overall, I'm maybe getting up in my brain to like a 45% chance that one of these teams gets 9 wins. So, yeah, I'm going under.
I don't think it was a ridiculous line because I really had to think about this. I really only looked at, obviously, like Michael, Army and Air Force, and Air Force less, but they certainly have a chance. But I just kind of focused on Army here, and I'm worried about them beating me and your line, Ryan, because... They really, when you look at their schedule, they really only have kind of that one sure loss where they play at Wisconsin. And then, but the challenge with them is they have a bunch of toss-ups. Like, they play at Georgia State to start the year, at Ball State, host Wake Forest, at Liberty. Like, I could see them going 3-1, but I could also see them going 1-3 in those. And it's just, so that was really difficult because if they do go 3-1 in those, they can beat those teams, they are, 9 wins looks good.
See, that's the thing, is they kind of have like a 5-game schedule almost. They have all those games you just mentioned are going to... Because the other ones, I mean, maybe they're
easy.
They're just gimmies. They're like UMass and UConn and just, for the most part, I mean, they got to play Navy, which can always be tough. But in aggregate, the rest of their schedule is very, very easy.
Right. Yeah, I got worried outside of Wisconsin. So it's going to come down to those handful of toss-ups.
But the wording of the question I kind of messed up on. I guess it already was an 8.5 line because I said at least 9. So 9 wins.
Oh, it was. You're right. You kind of over under 0.5 Service Academy teams with at least
9. Yeah. I just didn't do it like a sports book. At least 9. I should have said 8.5 because that's really what it's asking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, 8.5. What am I doing? This year making it tougher for me.
I know.
9 is. Air Force and Army, man. I feel like one of them is going to get to 9.
8. you got an over under of 8, and then you got the just the puncher's chance of Air Force. I'll just gonna stick under. I'm gonna stick.
Either way, even at the 9, it was kind of tough for me. So, but I will stay under.
Okay, last question of the podcast here: over under 0.5 starts for TJ Finley at Auburn this year.
So I'm gonna go over, and honestly, Trey from a month ago would be kind of shocked with that, because when I first heard he was transferring to Auburn, I was a bit surprised. And then I thought initially there's no way he would overtake Nix. And I also kind of thought that he had a worse year, Finley did, than he actually did. I kind of looked back at his I looked back at his stats, and they weren't overall that bad in aggregate. I just happened to watch the games that he didn't look that great and they lost. And for Auburn overall, I'm not expecting big things in Brian Harsin's first year. Nix has had an up and down career, which we know. He's gone through a carousel of coaches now. He had Malzahn, Chad Morris was coaching him. This year, Mike Bobo is going to be the offensive coordinator. It's just, there's a lot of change. Not to mention, Nix had struggles last year, and his three top receivers are gone this year. So I could see Finley getting a start at some point in the year, maybe to change things up if Auburn's on a little slide and maybe their offense is stuck in the mud.
I'm going to go under, because I really just don't think he's very good.
I don't think he needs
some time. Bo Nix, while he's not amazing, he's been a starting quarterback there for a couple years, and it's not like he's been terrible. He's had some good moments. So experienced quarterback, decent, is a heck of a lot better than TJ Finley in my eyes. So I'm going under.
I'm including injury in there too. Not that we're one.
Yeah, that's my worry, of course, injury.
Yeah.
I'm just going to assume that Bo Nix, who I don't think he's been injured his the first 2 years, so... sticking with
Ryan, just jinxed him.
I got Wood here.
No. Knock on Wood. We're all good. We're all good, Bo Nix. Okay. Well, that'll do it for the College Football Bros podcast. Again, like we said, check out our YouTube for that question about DJ Uiagalelei. And if you haven't heard our thoughts on the new 12-team playoff, you can. That was our last episode up on YouTube right now. So check that out as well. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.